All right, so I want to talk about embracing God's good plans for you. And thinking about Paige, she embraced God's good plans for her, put everything else on hold and put number one first, Jesus. And it came out pretty good. So I love this passage so much. It's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So that word is spoken in the midst of Jeremiah chapter 29, where there's about to be an exile. Israel's gotten to the place where they've been so evil and so far away from the Lord has to discipline them, and he's going to send them far away. But he says this scripture in the midst of it, right? It's very interesting because God actually always has a plan of redemption. Even when we mess up, even when we're going the wrong direction, he's that good. And I love these verses because he tells the future and he tells what's going to happen to them and there's going to be some problems, but then he tells them his ultimate goal for them has always been, what his ultimate goals have always been for them, right? This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. That sounds like weird, right? It's bad news, you know. In the beginning, you're not getting out of this for a while. But he says this very interesting thing as you begin to follow this. No matter what situation you're in, prosper. Do well, because I'm there. Marry, interesting, and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. You could think, well, we're in exile. Things have to stop. And this is so amazing because God says, all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. As a Christian, this is the promise that you have. You don't have to put your life on hold for anything because right where you are, no matter how bad it is, whether it's sickness or illness or some other thing or some other thing that's got you distracted, God has a plan, right? A good plan. In other words, a supernatural plan, but a normal plan, which most people would gauge as good, right? Good plans, a good deal, right? Like marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give daughters and your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. They're about to go through a horrendous thing. How many know that being captive in another country, you know, I don't even know if we can even measure that, anything that we see happening today. Maybe a couple of places in the world, right? Well, we just had some captives in Gaza, right? And they're working on that right now. But what he says there is, here they are. They're in this desperate situation. They've been held captive. You know, they've made captive. They've become slaves in some cases, and they've given their some land or whatever. But they didn't treat their captives very well. But he says this. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Whoa. What did he say? I'm in exile. These people enslave me, and I'm supposed to pray for them? Yes. Because greater is he that is in you and his plan than he that is in the world. And they are the chosen people. That means even in their adversity, you're chosen. That's the precise thing I'm going to talk about today. Jeremiah 29:11 at the top. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now I'm going to read that again in the text. I want you to say that again. I know the plans I have for you and you and you and you and you, right? Because you're God's kids. These are God's kids. If you know Jesus, you're God's kids. So just like good parents, you know, this parent, Father God, has plans. He didn't create you for nothing. He didn't create you just to be a blob, a marker somewhere. I need a few more people in this area. He planted you with a purpose. And this is what it tells us, because this is like unfathomable. I mean, you got such horrible news. Look, you're in exile, Jerusalem to Babylon, you know. You've been sent out from Israel. You're there in Babylon now. And, you know, in those ancient times and still today, this is slavery. This is not a good place. This is not like, you know, everything's just perfect. It's horrible. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. It's just going from incredible to more incredible. Not only do I want you to go there, not only am I going to increase in number and prosper there, but guess what? I want you to seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've called you into exile, carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Pray to the Lord for it, this nation that's captured you. Pray for your nation, United States of America, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So if it does well, you'll do well. And how do we ensure that happens? We pray for it. God genuinely is listening to the prayers of his people. We are a unique nation. We are a holy nation. Even when we're down, we're up. Even when we're confused, there's a right path. And we have this lifeline to God called prayer, especially in the name of Jesus, no matter what situation we're in, so that ultimately, Romans 8:28, all things can work together for our good. And we are a part of that all things working together for good. We're a part of that plan. In other words, it's not just hocus pocus, it's magic, it just happens. No, we're a part of making sure that we prosper in the land we pray for. If it does well, then we'll do well. That's why we have so many prayer meetings. Think so much about this, because one of the highest ministries we have is to pray for our nation, to pray for those that are in authority. And of course, even this week, I threw my shoe at the television set more than once this week, just watching the stupidity and the craziness in our world and everything, and listening to some people who, just amazing, isn't it? I'm not supposed to speak evil of a leader of our people, so I won't. But you know what I mean. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So who do you pray for? Just your favorite ones? No, you pray for everybody. Everybody, because they will affect everybody. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. He says, like, they're hearing this, and it's like stunning them. So just keep them on track. Yes, this is what I'm saying. Just want to say this again. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. In other words, isn't it weird there? You're encouraging them to have dreams. You're encouraging them to get the right answer, because if they do and they say the right things, you're going to be happy with them. You might even give them some money, right? They're prophesying lies to you in my name, because you're going to be here for a while. And I know what they've been telling you, and it's not that great. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to you, bring you back to this place. Now, this is it. But I just declare this over everybody today as God's people. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Even especially for you that maybe are in a difficult and limited place right now, physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, with your house, whatever, children, plans to prosper you. This is what we have as our inheritance. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So here's God's plans. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's what God thinks. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Now, he's already listening. He's already invited them into this whole thing. But he's trying to explain something to them, that there'll be a time when the season will change. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the exile, back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And then it goes on. It's a very interesting little section in reading, because he goes on and talks about, you may say the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon, but this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all the people who remain in this city, your fellow citizens who did not go with you into exile. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them, and I will make them like figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with sword, famine, and plague, and will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth, a curse and an object of horror and reproach among all the nations where I drive them. For they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, words that I sent to them again and again by my servants the prophets, and you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord. But you're in a better place, even though you haven't listened either, and you've been in a difficult place too. So anyway, these words are extremely interesting. So It's interesting because they help us understand the broad case for God in our life and how he wants to do us good, but it may take a while, right? No matter what situation we're in. So if you look at Roman numeral 2 on your outline, an earlier time in Israel's history, God's plan for Israel was to stay, not to leave. So it's interesting. So there's an earlier time when they wanted to leave, but he said to stay. This time is they're supposed to leave, but other people stayed. So he's doing exactly the opposite of whatever he said, right? So what's the issue? Do what he says to do. That's the issue. Do what he says to do, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it goes against every bit of reasoning or thought or maybe even desire that you have, right? So look what he says to them, this people now. This is Israel again. This is earlier, Isaiah 30, 15 to 21. He wants them to stay in the land, not give up. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. Now, for us, it's the same whether we're going or coming, you know, whether God tells us to move or not move. This is so important. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. You said, so they begin to invent things about what we should do. And got to be careful in our environment. There's a lot of people talking and saying a lot of things. It's so important that we in prayer become good examples, that we hear God's voice for us, for our country, that we're careful, especially being caught up in the crowd who sound good on the outside, but often are speaking out of fear. And whenever you hear that fear thing coming through somebody's words, beware, beware. Nationally, in your own family, somewhere, you know, the fear thing is deadly. It's full of death and has no faith in it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So for this group that I was talking about earlier, later time in history, God said, it's time to go. I'm exiling you to such and such place. But then a bunch of loyalists and patriots got together. No, no, we'll do this. Right? But there wasn't time to do that. These guys are in the land and they're saying, you know, I want to go. We're going to get out of here. Let's go to Egypt. Right? No, it's not time to do that. So what's the integral thing? Well, God has good plans for you. That's what's the overarching thing. You got to believe that he has good plans for you. A person that believes that then is not insecure no matter which direction or which way they go. You said, no, we'll flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we'll ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. They're gonna be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. You know, it's amazing what fear does. It makes fools out of everybody. And there's been a lot of masquerading in our culture and even in the name of the Lord to do things, to be people, be this, that. With the root of it is if you smell just a little bit more and you look at it a little more carefully, you realize this person is absolutely terrified. They are afraid. They are terrified. I don't like to listen to people that are terrified and afraid in terms of, I listen to them to help them get over it, but I don't like their advice, right? Because God has this other way of confidence. It's based in his good plans for you. It's the way we embrace God's good plans, right? So in one case, he says to move, and the next case, he says stay put. At the threat of five, he says 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you'll all flee away, you know, because I've got good plans for you, and it means stay here. So finding good plans, God's good plans for you, is absolutely essential, as best as you know how, as best you can. And I would say that means a private thing that you do with the Lord, but also friends, people around you. A good counselor, a good person that's known you for a while, a godly person, maybe that's been around the block once or twice. If they're good and they're giving you good counsel, they can smell fear. Smelling fear is really important in terms of discerning our ways and ways around us people. It's very important. When you smell that, it's very important that you handle that properly and you help them. Because the one thing is, when you begin to panic, you lose your sense of hearing God's voice. It's just like things go crazy because the voices outside are so loud and you just begin to follow them. So some of you right now are in a battle where fear is knocking at your door pretty hard. And it's tough for you to know, well, do I stay? Do I leave? Do I do this, do that? Matter of fact, I feel that so strongly right now. If you're in that sort of place where you're in a fearful place, that's no problem. That's not your fault necessarily. Matter of fact, it might have nothing to do with you at all. But something's coming to attack. God said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. But he also said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So sometimes the thief comes knocking at your door, right? So, you know, if you're feeling that knocking, the enemy, the stealing, the danger, whatever it is, and you would just like to react in just the right way, stay or go, this, do that, do this, try that doctor, don't. Why don't you stand up right now? I want to pray for you. I want to ask God to do something amazing today. Lord, I'm asking for all the folks that are standing and all the folks that are so afraid they couldn't stand. I'll cover you too. About 10 more people stood up. So Lord, in this day, this time, not 5 years from now, not 5 months from now, but now, I'm asking that you would give them good advice. You would show them the good plans that you have for them. They would hear those plans. They would follow through. They'd have the courage to follow through. And also, Lord, the calmness to hear your voice clearly. And however the advice comes, Lord, it's good. Whether it's through another person, through a Bible verse, both, through a prophetic word, whatever it is. But I pray, God, that as I'm doing this, that this would be a special time where people don't choose the wrong way, but they choose the right way, and they embrace something good, not something that's fear-filled and even terrifying to them. And it may take faith, so I'm asking that you give them a step of faith and bravery. It might even look quite the opposite of what normal people would define as courage or faith. It's like you're stepping into something that's just good common sense. You shouldn't be doing that. But God has his own sense, as we're seeing in these verses. So I'm asking, Lord, in Jesus' name, for amazing things for all those that are standing up. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So let's get on with this thing. Verse 16. No, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. We'll ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. Verse 17. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you'll all flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. That's the key thing. Oh, man. Holy Spirit, I pray, God, you just do that for all of us, that we would actually learn as we move along in our life that God longs. It's his highest desire to be gracious to us. Boy, if you can believe that, you can hear God's voice again, even in difficult times. It's that place. That's the warfare part where you just figure out that maybe I did something wrong. Maybe I turned right, left. I shouldn't have. But it doesn't matter. Just clear the slate. Say everything you did wrong that you can think of. Clear it off and say, all right, what do I do? Thank you, God, because I know that you're going to lead me in the right direction. That the Lord long, I know you long to be gracious to me. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. People of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. That cry for help's a good one. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. In other words, you're going to get the advice that you need. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, this is really good. I like this one. Just warning you here. Just everybody wake up. Right here. This is a good one. If you don't hear anything else, listen to this. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears, I'm saying this prophetically to everybody here that's listening to me. Your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I declare over this congregation today and everybody that listens to me on this live stream, everyone that knows Jesus Christ, everyone that's trying to walk in faith as best they know how, I declare this voice, this is the way, walk in it. I pray, God, you would give us the courage to step into these things. Notice he says, again, look at your outline. In repentance and rest is your salvation, in quiet and trust is your strength. So it's important. What does the word repentance mean? mean? So, interesting thing about the word repentance. It's a change of an inner heart situation. Starts there, resulting in a different action, right? So, here, in repentance and rest of your salvation. So, this is what this means. Change your mind in response to fear and hopelessness. So, whatever, helplessness. So, whatever happens, don't get in that nasty place of fear and helplessness, where you just feel like you're floating along, and the boat somehow lost its engine and you're just out there in this trackless ocean, right? I've been there. I felt that before. But we got to make sure we just line our heart up as best we can with God's goodness and line up with Him, meaning God's good. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to settle that. And He's going to take me the right direction. Lord, I just humble myself however You want me, wherever You want me to go, go. So in repentance and rest of your salvation, rest is a glorious experience of the love and assurance the Spirit brings. Now, this is why we can get ahead of many problems in our life because of the New Testament. And as we come to know Jesus Christ, we find out they have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But one of the things that's really important about the end times, what the Scripture says, is that one of the temptations of people in the end times is that their love is going to grow cold. But one of the specialties of God, which we emphasize a lot in our church, which isn't emphasized enough, is everybody knows that God's supposed to love you and you're supposed to love God. So, but we take that so surface, we don't know how deep this thing really goes. For years, I didn't know, as a good charismatic, Pentecostal, believing in miracles and stuff, I didn't know how deep the ministry of the Holy Spirit goes when He imparts love. And so, we emphasize that all the time. I'm in my Life in the Spirit class right now, and I'll be getting back to it. First things I said to the class, and I said all the way through, is I really like power. I really like prophetic words. I like to see people get well. It's so cool. I like to see the lost saved. I like all of it. But you know what I like above all of that? I like to feel the love of God in my soul, that I know, that I know, that I know that God loves me. Because at that point, I become a great soldier and a great son or daughter. I do whatever He says when He says for me to do it, but at the same time, He hugs me all the way through and makes sure I'm going to make it to the other side, right? He just doesn't leave me, give me the orders, and then leave me, you know, in this horrible fear. I'll just say, if you're in that space where you're trying to do something in faith, you know, God wants to hug you. He wants to grab a hold of you. That place, you're more vulnerable for love than you thought. It's just you got to keep seeking God and ask Him, know that this exists. For years and years, I didn't know. I was left in my fears and really a bad thing. Don't be left in your fears and have prophetic ministry at the same time. So I love prophetic ministry, but I had a lot of fear in my life. Almost always when prophetic words that we give to somebody else go awry is we do it out of a spirit of fear. Something's gone wrong on the inside. We're afraid that they won't accept us unless we give them a good word, or we're afraid to give them the real news or we're afraid to face the real news ourselves, right? But everything that we have to face, God's so good. His love is, He's got good plans for us. Okay, so look at this, Ephesians 3. I'm talking about an experience He's describing, which needs to be a part of all of our walk with the Lord, whether we're facing anything or not at that particular moment, whether we're neutral or on fire, whether we're going the wrong direction or the right direction. Look what it says. And this is for all of you that are maybe under a little bit of fear attack. The enemy's come to threaten you. He's knocking on your door for whatever reason. But maybe for some of you, it's extra bad. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. This is Ephesians 3. This is A2 in your outline. From whom? For this reason, I kneel before the Father. You have a Father, not just a celestial power, but a Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So this is a supernatural thing that God does. So He's able to strengthen you on the inside, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We're familiar with that part. We all came to a place where we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He was strengthening our heart. But then He says this: I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You mean I can pray for that? Yeah, He's praying for them that would happen to them, and you can pray it for yourself. But this is an amazing thing. Can you imagine grasping how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ? Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. Very possible. As a matter of fact, it's supposed to be. Most of all of our mistakes, where we stop embracing God, we stop finding His the right plan for our life, come out of fear. That's why it's so dangerous today to live in the world we live in, because the world is full of fear. It's more full of fear than I've seen in a long, long time. And I was so disheartened in some ways with my own response, but mostly for the general body of Christ's response when COVID came, and I watched how Christians and people dealt with that thing. Oh my gosh, looking back on it, we realize how terrified we were. The world was trying to put it on us, but it was what was required at the moment was that we would actually be able to hear God's voice, and that required believing in a good God, that He loves me so much, He's going to tell me what to do and how to do it, and He's going to help me respond, and I'm going to be okay. So He's praying for them. Look, this is my highest prayer for you, Ephesians. I want you to grasp how wide, how long, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So we get the fullness of God. You get His message. You give direction, right? Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power, that is what? At work within us. It's something that comes from inside. It's an inner work of God. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. So when we have love and assurance, we can rest. And we can embrace God's plans for us. Whether it's to run or to stay, right? Go, move, don't move. Either way, whatever we want to do is we don't want to be motivated by a spirit of fear, because it's going to lead us to no good. It always does. Sometimes when I'm counseling a person, I'm just sitting there listening to them and I'm thinking to myself, how afraid are they? And sometimes it comes right through the door and it's like, boop, 10, 10, 10. You know. So my first then piece of advice is actually I don't give advice. I got to bring them down a little bit and just dial that down a little bit and help them, because no matter what I say, if a person's in terrible fear, for you counselors, you people deal with people, if this person's terrified, they're not going to hear a word I say. Yeah. And if I do give them some of those cosmic, incredible, beautiful wisdom in the planet, right, they're going to find a way to twist it and bring it back to fear. Right? So how do you deal with a person like that? Well, that's a very good question. I haven't learned exactly how to do that yet, but I'm working on it. First of all, don't be as afraid as they are. I learned that part. First of all, stay calm and don't get irritated or fearful yourself. Don't let them, you know, breathe that stuff on you so you begin to believe their narrative, right? Just listen to that other voice. God, what do you have to say about this? You know, it's a person that's close to another person, or if you'll do that, you know, God will give it to you. He might not give it to you like in a computer printout form. Sometimes they just need a hug or a kind voice. Sometimes you just need to be listened to a little bit before you even give anything. Maybe you don't even give anything for a while till you know more about it. Okay, you know what I'm saying? But the important thing is that if you got love, you can deal with somebody that's fresh out of love, right? And just floating, don't know where they're going, what they should do with relationships or whatever, right? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. I'll say it again, rejoice. So this is a good thing. This is why you should come to church all the time. Because we don't feel perfect when we come in church, but there's something about rejoicing with a bunch of believers. I think what happens is the demons check their fear guns at the door. They don't have a lot of space in here. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So prayer is supposed to calm us down. And this to help us here, he says, you know, here's a helper. Look at this. No matter what the situation, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or heard, received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So this helps us understand something. Just be careful about your appetite for bad news and the news period, which is often bad. Just be careful how you feed that or let that come into you, because he says, you know, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. And it's part of hearing God's voice. It's part of understanding where you're at, right? You've got to be careful how you eat other people's fears, anxieties, and opinions, right? Especially what is right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy. What a good word for us today. In the end, we are left with a decision to declare God's promise and to believe or not to believe. So that's what we're left with every problem. Am I going to believe or not believe? Well, what am I supposed to believe? Well, if you know the scriptures well, you kind of know what to believe. Especially certain passages really stand out. So here's a good one to start with. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Are you dwelling in the shelter of the Most High? Yes. You gave your heart to Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus covers you. You become a son and daughter of the Most High King, and he doesn't abuse his children, right? And he's in charge of everything, too. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. So when we get words like this, this Psalm 91 is a good one, when we get afraid, we can stand and we just say, Lord, I believe every word of this. Thank you for saving me from the snare. Thank you for covering me with your feathers. And under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. When you come to church sometimes, it's like getting under the feathers, especially if you've gone through a hard time. You know, it's hard sometimes to come to church. It's sometimes the least thing that we want to do when we're the most afraid or in pain. Right? Good job, Joan. Lord, I pray for Tom Savino right now. I pray you'd heal him and deliver him. I pray you'd show him the plans you have for him. And I pray, God, this would be a season of great enlightenment, a deliverance for him in Jesus' name. And every other one that came with your husband or your wife today or maybe a close friend or whatever who's sick or ill, I pray for you too in Jesus' name. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers under his wings. You will find refuge. Lord, I declare refuge today for anyone that's afraid, anyone that is looking for your good plans and doesn't seem to be experiencing them. His faithfulness, not your faithfulness, his faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night nor the arrow that flies by day. The enemy's creative sometimes with these arrows. Nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge. Ooh, let's just say that all together, right? 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my refuge. I went a little fast with that. Let's do it again. 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my refuge. About half of you are still not with me. All right. Let's do it one more time. The Lord is my refuge. All right, 1, 2, 3. The Lord is my refuge. Okay. I think half of you believe now. That's good. Yeah. And, you know, I can say that like funny and everything, but I get in that place too. The Lord is my refuge is the last place I want to go. What that guy on Fox News says, maybe that was a little better. You know, I think he said something, got some good news there. Maybe that guy on the radio, you know, that was kind of good. But we got to be able to say, the Lord is my refuge. I don't care what everybody else is saying. I'm making him my dwelling. I'm making him my source. Look at this verse 10. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Lord, I declare that over us today. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Can you imagine a church like this? Millions and millions of people that believe like this? Talk about frustrating to the government or anybody else in our neighborhood, right? Because he loves me, says the Lord, I'll rescue him. I'll protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I declare that over whoever is worried about dying today. Lord, I declare long life. Well, you say, well, I've already had a long life. Well, I think you could ask for a longer life. There's people in the Bible that actually did that. One of them was named King Hezekiah. He asked for life, and the Lord did it. So, man, this asking thing's a good deal, you guys. It wouldn't be a good deal unless you had a good father and someone that loves to invite you into this place where you're asking and declaring and embracing good plans. Israel got deported because they couldn't embrace the good plan. They were too busy being afraid and going their own way. This is a good one. No temptation, this is 2C, has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. You could say testing, no trouble, no difficulty, no trial, except what's common. It's not from like some supernatural place and dark corner of the universe has suddenly shown up in alien form and made you sick or caused a series of circumstances or some super demon or something that has not been overcome before. But it will be overcome because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. I've got good plans for you. And guess what? My plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. My plans are to give you a future and a hope. I know those plans. So, no temptation. That's no testing. You could say it that way. It's another translation, another way to say that word. Has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tested, tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tested or tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure. There's a way out of your problems. He's not just talking about being tempted to make this sin or do that sin or watch this or do that. He's talking about the whole program, the whole testing. There's nothing, when you're tested with your children. Just like I'm tested in a very unique way. But he provides a way out so that you can endure it, doesn't he? He provides a way out. I want to say it again. Nothing can overwhelm you except that the Lord provides a way out so that you can endure it. And I would say endurance is only the thing you do until you get the victory, till you get to the answer, right? So that's why you need endurance, because sometimes prayers take time. Sometimes it takes a while. And that's why in Matthew 6:13, when the Lord was teaching us to pray, one of the most powerful parts of what we call the Lord's Prayer is, Lord, lead me away from testing and trial. It says, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. But that word temptation is a big word. It can mean temptation, certainly, to sin, but it's bigger than that. Hey, God, lead me out of testing, but deliver me from evil. In other words, Lord, keep me out of trouble. We should pray that every day. Lord, keep me out of trouble. And Lord, would you please turn the temperature down in here? I'm freezing up here. Try not to complain. Could someone shut the air conditioner off? I see people like, your teeth are chattering, poor thing. I'm just kidding. Just to want you to know I'm in touch with the environment. All right. I don't know how we got it so cold here. All right. Maybe I'm just getting old. No, I know I'm getting old, but not that old. All right. Roman number 3. The Lord longs to be gracious to you, and he longs to be gracious to others through you. God puts us in the middle of the world to be his salt and his light. That's our description. This is our lifelong assignment. And actually, it's our first assignment. This is what we do when the whole world's falling apart. We're the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness and we're running around like everybody else, you know, reacting like everybody else, how could it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, and I don't like this part, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So let's be salty. You're the light of the world. Even in darkness, a town cannot be on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I was so proud of a lot of people that we've things that we've gone through. You know, it's amazing how some of you have stood up and let your light shine even in the darkness. Oh, man, we had this wonderful funeral yesterday. I didn't want to say funeral. It was just a celebration service for Gerard Driscoll. Talk about a man who stood lifelong as salt and light. That was Gerard Driscoll. And that service yesterday was just nothing. You know, I've gone to a lot of funerals, done a lot of funerals. But for me, it was such a delightful time because I know him well. And he was a light. He let his light shine no matter what. Always shining his light. Always being an example. Always being a covering for his household, even when he wasn't doing so well. Lord, thank you for getting to know a person like that who such a good example of how they shone their light in the world. Our giving to others is also how God turns around and blesses. So it's funny because when we get into difficult places, the last thing we want to do is be a giver, and the best thing we want, or most we want, is to be covered or taken care of. But the funny thing about it is, as we look through the scriptures, and I'll just get Luke 6:38 ahead of the other one, but I'm going to do Haggai here. Luke 6:38, forgiven you'll be forgiven, given it shall be given to you. So it works actually opposite. when you're afraid or when you're not doing well, sow the opposite direction. It's wise. I'm not trying to get some kind of gimmick or whatever to get out, but I'm telling you what. When you get in trouble or you're in difficulty, you're sick or whatever, you want to close up. You want to just hide. You want to retreat. But actually, the truth is you may be fighting spirit. And so if it's spirit that's attacking you, which often is, even with physical things, they love for you to retreat. They don't want you to turn to the Lion of the Tribe of Judah and start resisting. They don't want other people to pray for you. Matter of fact, sometimes prayer is so devalued in our culture and so devalued in what we do that people think, man, he's only got a prayer to make it. Does that sound weird? It's just a prayer that guy make it. Like, no. Prayers make you make it. If he's praying, he's got great possibilities. Haggai 1, 2. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. In other words, they had suffered so much. They're in the land now, and they're just in shock. And now it's going to require effort for them to inhabit the land, to actually follow through and to be God's people. Then, so they justified not building the Lord's house, which actually was going to be quite expensive. So the backdrop here is, I'm already not doing so well. I've been in exile, now I'm in this land, and I don't got any money. But look what the Lord says to them. Is it time for yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? He's talking about the temple. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go into the mountains, bring down timber, build my house that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house. By the way, if you're wondering where the house of the Lord is, it's right here, right now, in this place, now. In every place of worship, and it could be broader than that as well, broader than houses of worship, but we are God's house together. Corporately over the whole body of Christ and in our individual expressions. But look at my house. It's still a ruin. It's not doing nothing. Everybody's so afraid. Nothing works. Nobody will work. Each of you so busy with their own time, energy, investing in this and trying to make money that way. You don't even come anymore. You don't even come to worship me. Worship's not about you, by the way. It's about the Most High God. It's a form of giving. When you come to a place like this, it's not go to church. It's go to Jesus. I'm come to Jesus to honor him and give him the first part of my time. And my money, right? That's part of it. And I want to be a part. I'm a living stone in this place. And by the way, I'm a part of the body of Christ. And I might not be an ankle. I might not be a mouth. But I sure am an elbow, right? Or whatever you are. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, each of you is busy with their own deal, their own house, their own things. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock and all the labor of your hands. So in case you aren't very agrarian, this covers all of you. All the labor of your hands. It's just a matter of the Lord longing to be gracious to you, but here's his formula. He longs to be gracious to others through you, but first of all, give the Lord what's his. Whether it's financial or time or energy or whatever, give the Lord what's his. Sow into it. That's why Luke 6:38 says this. Give and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. God's good plans find their way into some very strange activity, like giving, being generous, kind, with your time, your energy, all of it. Roman numeral 4. As you cry out for God's good plans, look for creative wisdom. And I just want to say this because I really like this part of the sermon. I liked all of it, but I really like this part. Because sometimes I want God's plan, but I'm not sure how to get to it. First of all, I'm not sure I've heard clearly about the plan. But secondly, I'm not sure exactly how to step into it. But the thing is, about God's plans and things, this will give you a great piece of advice. Don't try, in American culture, it's a real problem this way. We're some of the most impatient people that God's ever dealt with on the planet, right? Well, you think, well, what about Israel? Yeah, I don't know. I think it's neck and neck, right? Ancient Israel. We because everything is so push button, we have a really hard time letting plans unfold. Yet most of our life is a journey, I found. Most of us are on a journey towards something good. We want it to happen like magic, but often through that journey, we learn things. But I'll just tell you another little secret through the journey to good things is you actually get more, not less, this way. So he said, okay, I'm going to answer that, but I'm going to add this, this, and this. Why don't you take a trip with me? Some of you are on a trip, and you hate it because it's hot, deserty. But, you know, Flagstaff, Arizona is not too far away. If you ever made that drive through Needles, right? So look at this. Look at Isaiah chapter 30. And I'll just read these verses, 15 and 21. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation, and quiet and trust is your strength. So, again, we see at least one of the groups of people we were addressing before, they lost their quietness. They lost their trust. They didn't have any strength left. So they thought, well, we're going to run. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we'll ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one, and the threat of five, you'll all flee away till you are like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. So in the process of our time, we just need to be patient and watch for him to develop his plan. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. That's really critical. With your own eyes, you will see them. Your teachers. What does he mean, your teachers will be hidden? I'm teaching you something. I'm going to help. As soon as you cry out for help, I'm going to help you, but I'm going to get some teachers, and I'm going to put them alongside of you, and you're going to walk out. So the thing about it is walking out of your problems means you've got to hear God's voice. It's one of your greatest privileges to walk out. So you might only get a piece here and a piece there, but I will keep teaching you till you'll learn, till you get out. When you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I declare that over you today, over every person that's in a difficult situation, every person that needs a lot of advice. I declare to you today, this is the way, walk in it. God's going to speak to you. He's going to help you. But you know what you got to do right now? You got to go to the garbage can and throw away the fear because it's doing you in. You can't hear anything because you're terrified. And sometimes we get terrified and we start reacting, but we call it faith. Because it seems the most logical and practical way and sometimes the easiest way out. If we just get rid of that person from being over us, that boss or that political figure, then everything's going to be just fine, right? My. This is the way walk in it. It's an ongoing thing. That's how we get out of our troubles. We hear this voice because, as you see in Romans 4, as you cry out for God's good plans, look for creative wisdom. Look for him to unfold the path, not to give you just... He delights in this, by the way. I found that God likes it. I want to get the answer done with, moving on. But what he likes to do is he likes to take you through a whole little process where you grow up as you're going forward. And you get stronger and smarter. And by the time you're done, you're smarter than you were before and able to handle bigger and better problems, right? Problems that were a little bit more noble and important. That's all of us are in training for that. That's where we're all at. So walking and embracing God's good plans for you is part of our life, that he actually has good plans. That's one of the first things we need to know. And then we got to go, okay, God, what do I do about this problem? And so fear is one of the things that we got to get rid of. But also we got to look for creative wisdom. God, I know you're going to give me wisdom. And sometimes that wisdom comes through a donkey. You know the story in the Bible, right? The donkey with the prophet sitting on it, and he kept rubbing his leg against the wall, and the prophet goes so angry at him, right? But he was keeping him from danger. The donkey knew more, right? You see what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, thank you that you're over every part of our life. You've got really good plans for us. And help us all to find them, Lord, and unwrap them like a Christmas gift, faithfully. Oh, so what is this, right at the bottom of your page, walk in it look like? Stop complaining openly or secretly. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God. Stop saying that. Don't believe lies. And oh man, are there a lot of lies. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they might have life and abundantly. So he steals, he kills, he destroys, he lies. He's a liar. Talk about lying. This is one of our deepest problems right now. So many voices out in the world, so many voices that sound great, they're encapsulated in just the right commercial or just the right way, you know, so it makes you look, but it's the world. So Christians, this is where we should all be shining our light, guys. This is where we come in. We've got an inner discernment from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who knows what's what. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So he's really good at telling the truth. That's why sometimes it gets confusing, you know, in the world. They can't understand why we think like we do. Well, we just walk to the beat of a different drummer. We've been hearing something else, right? And it's got some wisdom in it if you give it a chance to live. God renews your strength and power so that you can soar on wings like eagles. I love that passage so much. Isaiah chapter 40, 28 to 31. And I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago as I was teaching, but maybe I'll just, I can't resist. I want to read this scripture and we'll close here. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is guarded by my God? Isaiah 40, 27. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary of your problems. He doesn't want you to get tired or weary either. In his understanding, no one can fathom. His ways aren't your ways. But he still communicates and lets you know. Because you know what he does? He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. When you're weak, you can expect a power increase. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will what? Renew their strength. Why do you renew their strength? Because it's not just hope, but it's also in that word hope is God speaking to you about your problem. Sometimes there's a waiting time, but the hoping in the Lord is an active process. He gives you evidence. He leaves evidence that he's with you. Don't you like it when God gives you evidence that he's with you? Every once in a while I get in a dark space. It's been so long since I heard God about the problem. Then all of a sudden there's evidence. Ah, there it is again. There he is. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and your strength gets renewed. So you don't make dumb decisions and step into places that you shouldn't be. You get good plans, not worn-out plans, not tired plans, and not plans that don't work. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So you can imagine these promises. And a group of people like us, the church, that's willing to embrace these promises, can you imagine how this drives the world absolutely batty? It makes them crazy because they're busy quoting scriptures like those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and so on. And here's the kicker, Romans 8:28. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Even when you've been dumb, even when you've been going backwards, he'll let you know. He'll smarten you up. He'll give you counsel. He'll say a scripture. He'll do something that suddenly gets through to you because that's your inheritance. He's a talking God. Question is whether we're listening people. But he gets through one way or another. He'll get through. That's part of our inheritance. You know one way he gets through? Through the lowly person sitting on your left and your right. Sometimes he speaks through donkeys in the scripture. Sometimes he speaks through donkey-like people. Sometimes he speaks through the most strange person. And even, I would say, sometimes the most unusual people. Right? All right. Why don't we stand? Lord, we thank you today for God's good plans. So we're going to do some baptisms here in just a second. And because of the conflict that we have when we have the baptisms and everything going on, I don't do ministry the same way. Usually we have some people up and praying for people. But I'll tell you what, let's just do this. So how many in this room would say unequivocally, I need a new plan? Or at least I need part of a new plan. I need some wisdom to know how to handle a situation and I don't know what to do. So just keep your hand up. Okay, I'd say that's a good half, maybe two-thirds of the congregation. So all you guys that are doing better, could you look around and see someone that's raising their hand? Okay, and we're going to pray for them. Okay, just find someone with their hand up. Keep your hand up. Now, a bunch of people won't. No, keep your hand up. We won't eat you alive. We won't do anything negative to you. We'll just pray. Just serve that gentleman right there. Make sure he has someone praying for him right there in the cool shirt. Right there. Gray hair. Do I know you? Ah. Ah. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord be with you. His hands on you. Lord, we just pray for every person that's got their hand up right now. Lord God, just embrace the plans you have for us. Lord, any way that we've been so afraid we couldn't hear anymore, any way that we've just been walking down the wrong road and we know it, but we just got desperate, we just say, Lord, have mercy on us. That's how we start today. Have mercy on us today. But we want to affirm that you have good plans for us. As we pray for one another, Lord, may these prayers stick. And anybody that's been heartened from what I said, I pray, God, you take the words, and I just declare all things are working together for your good, and that God wants to resume the good plans he has for you, even when you feel like you've been in the wilderness and the desert. Lord God, I pray for miracle breakthroughs. I pray for the hearing of God, and I pray for a spirit of encouragement to every person in this room that's run out of gas and actually run out of a plan, just to know what to do anymore. I pray for you. May God encourage you. May God rest on you. May God show you tomorrow morning, the next day, answers to difficult things. May God give you a wisdom beyond anything that you've ever had before. In Jesus' name. So if we could get the people that are going to be baptized to come on up, and we're going to stay in a spirit of worship and prayer.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.